It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. A great day as we're doing our Pirate playback. The Pirates win 31-24 over UConn, and with us, we've got a great show, I promise you, because we have Kyle from the Green Squad. What's up, man?
What's going on, Dave? Otherwise known as Big Boy today.
Well, I hate to hear that. I thought you would be, I thought you'd have a whole bunch of natural Monster energy drinks in you because Pirates get a big win. Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, man?
Good morning, guys.
I know you're on your way to church, so we want to give you some spotlight. And also, speaking of the spotlight, we couldn't have a show without a win for the Pirates to not have on Terry Funk Gallagher. How are you, man?
Well, I'm happy that we got past that three win marker yesterday. We're shooting for the stars now.
we got the fourth win and hopefully the fifth win. We'll be talking more about that later on. I tell you what, very excited. By the way, I want to start off the show. I know it's a little bit early, but I was thinking this morning, I'm the corny one of the bunch. Definitely sentimental. It's Thanksgiving this week. I'm very thankful for the win. I'm not being funny when I say this. I was thinking about how appreciative and grateful. I think that one of the great things about Jeff Comfer and the lack of administration we had before in Cecil State and all that bunch is, and I don't want to get down that path, but I just wanted to say, I've said it before, they've made me a better fan. But now when we win, I'm really appreciative and really grateful for the wins because we've had so few of them. What do you guys think?
Yeah, of course. I mean, any win should be appreciated. And, you know, yesterday I think people thought it was going to be more one-sided. But, you know, this time of the year, you don't worry about scores and how something looks. Everybody is when you get to November, anybody can beat anybody. It's just kind of how it is.
And, right.
Just glad to get the win. It was exciting when we came down to the end. It was certainly entertaining and exciting. And defense didn't play particularly well, but particularly the secondary. But at the end of the day, it was Colby Glore, you know, the secondary making plays there in the red zone that sealed the victory for us.
Bubba, what'd you think?
I thought the offense had another pretty good day. It was just a couple of turnovers that really held our point production down a little bit. And but like we were talking about yesterday off the air, and 31 points still isn't a bad day. But those couple picks prevented some other scoring opportunities. But Holton, threw for about 375 yards, completed close to 70% of his passes, something like that. And then it's nice to see Darius Penix, one, just be in the lineup and then have 105 yards on the ground, I guess right around 4 yards a carry, something like that. And then in the passing game, Tyler Snead had another heck of a day, about half as much yardage as he had at SMU, but he had 16 catches for close to 125 yards, something like that. And then DeAndre Ferrier had a nice day, and that's what been a little surprised his lack of contributions this year in terms of catches. But DeAndre had 5 catches, so that was good to see. And then kind of like Kyle said, defensively, in the pass defense left a lot to be desired, gave up a lot of big plays. Probably, in my opinion, played a little too much man-to-man coverage, but
right.
At the same time, I understand why they were probably trying to do it with the young quarterbacks from UConn. But after he had some success, even though we had them backed up in a long yardage situation, I was surprised that on that 94-yarder that we went straight man.
Yeah, I thought, Terry, didn't you another great stat, guys. We're averaging almost, I think it's 41.9 points a game. I sent that to Bubba and Kyle. We had in the last 3 games, we're averaging that. How about the last? This is one stat that just blew my mind, which I know it's true, but the last 16 times in the red zone, we've scored. How about that? 16 straight times in the red zone. I'm just really happy about that because, as you guys know, it's easy to move the ball between the 20 to 20. But the red zone is where it's at, and to see us successful 16 straight times is, especially when you think about it, that was not just UConn. That's going all the way back to when you have SMU and Cincinnati, or definitely SMU, but really happy to see that.
Yeah, that was good to see. And something else I want to kind of piggybacking off of what all of us were saying in terms of getting a win. Yeah, it wasn't exactly what you would want in terms of execution and cutting out some of those mistakes. But at the end of the day, you take a look at it. I mean, this is a ball club that's not used to winning, period, and especially on the road. And then to have our backs against the wall the way we did, and to find a way to make a play to find a way to win the ball game is something that this team is not used to. So, and quite frankly, I guess the program's not used to over the last 3-plus years. So it's great to see.
No question about it. For me personally, the game was – the great thing about that you can feel about this, even though yesterday, you know, you feel like, well, gosh, we should have scored more. I was like, well, or we should have, you know, definitely have made more points and less for them on defense. But every single game that it feels like just like, wow, we've been in the game. We're competing. We've gone from basically the joke of the FBS or right there at the bottom to now where we're competitive. And it's like if you think about a rung of the ladder, the top being the playoff, then we're climbing from being the joke of the FBS all the way. Now we're competitive. We're in games to where next up, I would say, where we're obviously winning more games with a chance to compete for a championship, right?
Yeah, it's we're headed in the right direction. That's not hard to see. I tell you, there's a lot of things I've been sitting here thinking about as far as what's been going on. But when you have a whole new, and again, I'm getting to the point I want to just move on and think about what's ahead. But after all we've been through, and where we were. Where we went, and what we're trying to get back to, for these players to be able to go out and fight adversity the way they've been doing over the last, well, actually, really, the whole year, you can see a lot of maturity going on down there, and we are we've not had much of an identity the last 3 years, I don't. It's like in the movie Ledger, A Legend of Bagger Vance. You know, the caddy for the golf player who they said lost who he was in the war. You know, that's kind of what we did. We lost who we were there for a while, and what we're in the process of doing is finding ourselves. And we're getting you're starting to see some Pirate football happening again. And as far as all the other that goes with it, when you start winning, when you start playing and doing the things the right way, and you got a team that enjoys playing and a team that's happy and fights and expects to win, then there's going to be a whole lot supporters that'll come out of the woodwork. So there's a lot of good days ahead, but to go ahead and push through and get the fourth win yesterday, it don't seem like much, but inside that locker room, I guarantee you, there was a sigh of relief right there. Not just for the players, but the coaches know what's been going on. And we got enough guys on the coaching staff that know what Pirate football is all about. So the guys that are on the staff that have been here before, they know what Pirate football is all about. They know what it takes, and I'm sure that they feel better this morning about what's going on. So,
I was gonna say one of those guys that you're referring to is, of course, offensive coordinator Donnie Kirkpatrick. I don't know if you guys saw this on social media, but how about those moves that DK had in the locker room after the win yesterday?
Yeah.
And last week, well, and they had one for the I tell you what, the coaches, it's good to see, and you guys have coached. People don't realize the number of hours that you spend, and when you're at the high school level, like Bubba, all, like the three of us have been. And Kyle says Kyle would make an excellent coach, but that's a whole other show.
I'm holding out for the NFL.
Going out for that? Okay. Well, the Redskins need a coach desperately, so a whole other podcast. But you're washing uniforms. You're doing a whole bunch of stuff. In my particular case, I was coaching and teaching at the Eastern North Carolina School for the Deaf. So, Terry, I went down to, down in Georgia, in the northern part there, in the mountains, where the school is. But anyway, we were traveling. You're taking kids home. There's all kinds of stuff that even regular high school coaches don't even have to. We were having to do extra stuff. So, not saying y'all didn't put the hours in. I'm just saying there was different stuff that we even had to do, and. So my point is countless hours. You're working sometimes 20 hours on the road out of 24. I mean, we'd get like maybe 4 or 5 hours sleep, all kinds of stuff that we were doing. And I remember the first year in the history of my coaching and playing career, we went 0-8 because the program was shut down by a man that didn't know what he was doing. And he didn't hire a football coach. So they had no game schedule, no football coach, and we had players and everything, facilities, you name it. So it took us 3 years to bounce back from shutting down the program. And so going 0-8 when you've won at least a few games, I'm talking about recreation, middle school, high school, I mean, anything I played, we won games and was successful for the most part. Some we were not, but to go 0-8 was awful. And so I've been there and done that. So to see a coach do that, you know that he's happy because he's putting in, I don't even know how many hours they put in, but it's got to be a lot.
Oh, when you coach, it's your life. So there's no time clock, so even if you're not at football, you're thinking football. so it's an all-consuming thing. And, of course, with college, you have to be also on the side of recruiting. So, that you know, you got your day job as far as that goes with a coach, and then you got your coaching job. So it's just – it's like holding down two jobs. And it's not people would be surprised how many people do that nowadays. But with a coach, you don't leave it at work. You take it with you. So, but I'm excited. I see the excitement in the players. You watch them there. They're happy. They enjoy each other. They, you see camaraderie. You see guys picking other guys up. This week coming up, you're going to see it's senior day, right? Coming up. Wait till you see our senior group, and then look how what I'm getting at here. We don't have a lot of seniors, so when you realize how many players that we're gonna have for the next few years, you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. But you know, it's you talk about work. I never realized how much. Football did encompass until I wasn't coaching, and that's when it became painfully obvious how much time I devoted to football. But wouldn't trade it for nothing, and that's what makes us who we are. So
that's right. And like with coaching stipends down in your state, one of my really good friends, Jim Bob Bryant, is coaching down there. He doesn't even have to teach; he's just coaching.
Now that wasn't the case here with me. I was a real teacher too. I'm not a PE teacher. There's anything wrong with PE teachers. I don't want to hurt those feelings there. Kyle would have been.
Yeah, Bubba.
Yeah. Bubba didn't say nothing, did he?
I think he's at church.
Yeah, well, you picked on him. He's not even there.
I may need to go to church now myself. I tell you, it's high school coaching is, it's all about people, and it's all about getting to know your people and knowing the kids and where they come from and what they're about. And all that type stuff, and that's what you see with our coaching staff we have here now. They're not just interested in them as commodities. They really do have a sincere care and love for watching young people, develop and grow stronger and get better. And football is only it doesn't last long. So the biggest thing is seeing what these guys do after it's all over. And you see there's a lot of great Pirates out there that play football that are still doing great things in life. And, that's really what it comes down to. Getting a little philosophical here on Sunday morning. So that's what happens when you win. You feel good about life and stuff like that. So. But when you put as much work into it as all it takes to win football games, you should be happy. So, it's amazing how close, you take one or two plays yesterday, and it's that way. You've heard me talk about it, the 6 to 8 plays in every game. And, early in the year, we were just missing those 6 to 8 plays, or we'd make 2 or 3 of them. But you see, now we're starting to make 5 or 6 of those 6 to 8 plays. And we're starting to be able to find the way to make the play instead of letting it happen to us. And even if it happens to us, we bounce back. Again, yesterday, we throw the interception late in the game. They get a good run back on it. But what do? We get the ball next time, go right back down the field. And that's how you handle adversity right there. You don't go over there and stand on the sidelines and point fingers and talk about what the play is. And, you go over there and get ready and come back out and do it again. So I love seeing us play like we are right now.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about from yesterday, guys, and Terry, you'll appreciate this. They tied it up. We were up 10, and they tied it up 24-24 in the fourth at their place on the road. We threw a pick. We threw a pick, and they could have taken the lead, and we stopped them with short yard, on relatively short yards. We stopped them, went down the field, scored and took the lead, and then got another defensive stop to win the football game. And I don't care how bad UConn is, it's late in the season, and it's on the road, and we haven't had a lot of success. To face adversity like that in the fourth quarter, blow a 10-point lead, then tie it up, then throw a pick and make a defensive stand, then come back down the field and score, take the lead, and then make another defensive stand at the end to seal the victory, that's impressive. That's taking another step of learning how to finish a game and facing adversity and winning.
You're exactly right on that. I really hadn't thought about it all like that yet. But you're exactly right on you. And so go back and look at the year, and go back and look at those. The second half of Central Florida game. Did our guys come out and lay down?
No.
No. What did we do? We came back out and won the second half. Now, it didn't win the first half, but we won. We still got something out of the loss. And that's what great teams do. Is you take, you're gonna have Alabama's lost a game this year, Georgia's lost a game this year. People lose games, but it's what you do with that loss, and it's how you come out of that loss, and that's what it's all about. Because people aren't going to talk about what you did after a while.
Yeah.
10 years from now, you know how much people will think about that game yesterday. Did we win it?
Exactly.
So yeah, we did.
Although,
so,
if you get, you get me and Bubba, we'll remember some details.
Now, Bubba would be able to give us the play in the third quarter on third and 10, you know.
and I'm like that with some games just stick out in my head for some reason. I can tell you almost every play of the 98 Memphis game to close the regular season for some reason.
But you see what I'm saying about the you take the year and you start looking back and reflecting on the year and see what happened yesterday. And that didn't happen by accident. You know, that what we did yesterday is the result of what we've been doing this year. And it started the first day Coach Houston got hired. I remember him coming right in, and I don't think he sat down for about a week.
He's a go-getter, man. I would expect, you don't know, next year's schedule is a lot tougher, but we're such a young team. I would expect, and I do think we got a lot of recruiting to do on defense, but I would expect next year we'll be a much better football team, and I would hope this time next year we are competing, if not competing for bowl eligibility, that we are bowl eligible. And, I think it is going to be tougher next year. The schedule, like I said, you replace, you still have the one FCS. You replace one of the FCSs, for Marshall. Georgia State, you say Georgia State, most people don't think much, but, they're a 7-win football team now. With a win over Tennessee, so you got Marshall, Georgia State, and then South Carolina in the conference schedule. So it's gonna be a tougher schedule next year, but 6 wins will be my goal next year. I think we could win more than 6 if defense progresses. But if we get to 6 in year 2 and go to a bowl with that schedule, I'll be happy.
Well, right now we got Tulsa coming up.
Yeah, of course.
But today we're enjoying the win against Connecticut.
Yeah. And Tulsa lost last night to Houston. They threw a few picks and had a block punt maybe. Or did they some special teams play? I didn't watch that game. I was busy watching the FIU Miami game. That was shocking. But
I watched Cincinnati Temple.
I watched some of that.
Yeah. So
Cincinnati won another close one.
does it really matter how many you win by?
Well, it depends, but as long as you win, that's all that matters in the end.
But that's one of the problems I have with this FBS selection committee situation.
Yeah, how pretty your wins are.
It's become I've never heard the term football resume.
At Clemson, they blot everybody out every week. Well, their league in the ACC is hot garbage. Of course they blow everybody out. Look, Miami's a 6-win football team. Last night played FIU. FIU beat their ass. That Miami made it a close game late. It was 23-3 at the start of the fourth quarter. And, I mean, the ACC is trash this year. They really are. And I'm telling you what, Washington City, people think I'm crazy. Washington City, Clemson, when Clemson gets in the playoffs, what happens this time around? I think playing that weak ACC schedule is going to bite them in the ass. And of course, they can't do anything about it. It's not their fault the ACC's weak. But just getting off on a tangent, people use that against UCF the last 2 years when they were undefeated, saying the American Conference schedule is too weak. Well, the American the last 2 years is better than the ACC this year.
Well, if you look across what's been happening with our conference teams this year, not only have there been good games outside of conference, but you see they do not call us a pass-happy offense league now. Because if you look at our games, there's a lot of low-scoring games happening in our conference.
Yeah, and, we don't know who's playing, but yeah, Cincinnati, certainly.
Cincinnati, Temple, Central Florida's not putting all the points like they were on the board.
No, but they want to.
Yeah, that's a little different. Yeah, they definitely want to.
Well, you got SMU, Memphis, high scoring. Navy sure. not scoring except running it. And Navy and now, beat SMU yesterday. That was a big conference game. That's gonna.
That's one. And well,
way, speaking of the conference, yesterday the divisions were wrapped up. Cincinnati and Memphis are, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah, they're conference. They're division champions.
So, who did I pick for the in the conference championship?
Congratulations, Dave! You're Red Pill too.
No, I didn't.
Now that'll be interesting.
They
play each other.
They play each other next week. By the way, the conferences. That's something. Mike, well, we're not going to have divisions the next 2 years, so that problem will correct itself the next 2 years. But I know Cincinnati and Memphis is a bit of a rivalry, but that's really stupid. Because of Cincinnati and Memphis cross division game the last week of the regular season, they're going to turn around and play. See, now you got to beat because of Boise State. Right now, you may have whoever wins the next week between Cincinnati and Memphis needs to win again the following week.
Right, or it's not it's
going to
mess us up
for us to get the New Year's Six spot. If not, you've got a Boise State problem.
So basically, what they need to do is they need to have that game, a rivalry game like that. You definitely need to have it when it goes back to the divisions. You need to go back to, like, have it in October, right?
Well, yeah, Cincinnati and Memphis, depending on who gets selected, is our 12th member. I think Memphis could be moved to the East.
Let me give y'all a whole different scenario on that right there. Now let's say whoever wins between Cincinnati and Memphis next weekend.
Yep.
Let's say that they say they don't want to play in the conference championship game. There'll be a one loss team. Ohio State didn't win their conference, and they went to the FBS. Alabama has gone to the FBS and not won their division or their conference. So,
well, I get what you're saying, but
yeah,
that's not going to happen.
And this is a theoretical here.
I think.
But
I,
what
I
I'm talking
is,
about is the,
I,
that's
I
what happened.
There would be a double standard, or they would say, well, they didn't have the balls to play the game, and the playoff committee would.
You're exactly right. And that
would,
just. Proof positive how messed up the FBS thing is right now.
The playoff.
They're going to put two SEC teams in there.
Probably. Especially with Oregon losing yesterday.
Yeah.
Oregon losing yesterday. It just about guarantees it. I guess Oklahoma stands an outside shot of getting in, but
didn't they lose? Or did they pull it out against TCU?
I believe they beat TCU. I think they won 28-24, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. It was close. I didn't know if they'd – okay. But I wouldn't put it surprise them to if Georgia were to beat LSU.
Yeah, LSU and Georgia both getting in, yeah.
Well, Alabama's still sitting out there with only one loss if they beat Auburn.
Yeah, that's true.
I told you what the best thing to do for all of us is put four SEC teams, just go ahead and let them in the playoff, and then we'll just have to sacrifice 1 year. Just give us 1 year, and then that way everybody, all the commissioners will finally say, okay, let's go to eight, and we would have more of what we want. I mean, it's not what I want, but at least it'll be better than what we have now.
For the Pac-12 commissioner. And maybe the Big 12 commissioner, too, but particularly the Pac-12 commissioner, he's a real set of balls. And join up with Mike Oresko, and let's take some legal action.
You know why? Because one of the things is that that drives me nuts is something they're debating all the time and something you've talked about, Kyle, not in the same – they're not obviously in the same conference. Being Air Force, but those West Coast teams, there's a lot of good teams that I never get to see play. I get to see the highlights the next day because I'm already in bed. I would love to see some Pac-12 games. I know there's a whole issue with TV. I get it, but they need to figure out a way to let the Pac-12 be on it at a better time because
well they do that some, but I think some of
you
that,
know what I mean I know
well,
but
I
you
think
know what
some
I mean.
Of that for those schools out in the Pac-12 is by choice, Dave. I mean because
yeah
if, I mean 10 o'clock here, 7 o'clock there. So I mean so I think you know if they're having 9 or 10 o'clock kickoffs, that's 6 and 7, and there are a few earlier Pac-12 games. Maybe try to get more 3:30 Pac-12 games. I guess that would be what a 12:30 kickoff there. So maybe try to do that. And more 7 p.m. Pac-12 games, they could do that. But, you know, the complaint with Air Force was more they were complaining about being in the mountain time and recruiting nationally. They get a lot of players from the East Coast and from Texas and playing so many West Coast teams. Then, you know, they got the majority of Mountain West games kick off at 10 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and CBS Sports Network. So if you're an Air Force, you know, you're kicking off at 10 p.m., that's 8 p.m. their time, or excuse me, 9 p.m. their time. And they're you know, kids out east are missing those games. And so that's a different argument that Troy, that the Air Force head coach was making. But that's why I think they may end up being the 12th team in the American. Because he did flat out say, this is a whole different topic, but you brought it up. You know, he did make the statement that the Mountain West is not the right home for Air Force football long term. Now, I don't know if that indicates he wants to go independent or he wants to join the American, but he sure did say it around the time we were starting to talk about adding somebody to replace UConn. And Navy's already in the league.
Well, Terry, I don't think we've asked you before, but for me personally, the service academies, you have. This is one question I want to ask you guys. Let me ask you two questions first. I know Kyle, but if you want to mention again, but Terry as well, what teams are like in your like final four or five teams you have that you would have add to the American that makes sense? And the other question is, would you, Kyle and Terry, like in other words, if you could get a whole bunch of teams that you know there's no way they can turn us down now, they'll definitely make us a Power Six, finally, league, would you add up until 14 teams? I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying add teams just to add teams. I'm talking about if that's what it took to get to P6, would you do it?
If we talked to the right people and we said, if we are able to get this team to join our conference, will you consider us a Power Six league then and give us a New Year's Six Bowl every year, meaning we automatically have a New Year's Six Bowl, Power Six classification, meaning we're in the same conversation with the other Power Five leagues, and we get an equal share of the playoff money. Yeah, of course. And I think those teams would be Boise State, BYU, and I'm not sure who the third team would be. You know, to go to 14, but it would definitely be Boise and BYU, and then whoever the third team would be, I'd even let the other conferences dictate it. And if we could go to 14 and talk to those schools and do that, and that meant we're Power Six, sure, absolutely. But the other question, who should we add as the 12th member? We got some. It's going to depend a lot on what the Mountain West new TV deal is. We're sitting at between 7 and 8 million now per team starting next year. If the Mountain West TV deal goes from 2 million to 3 or 4 million, we'll have some teams on the eastern side of the Mountain West interested in coming. Boise would be the obvious choice. Boise, under the last TV deal the Mountain West signed, was allowed to negotiate a secondary deal on their own. So they're making more money than the rest of the Mountain West teams. I don't know if they're going to keep letting them do that. But Boise might be a little tough to get because American's not going to let them negotiate their own TV deal. But I think Air Force is going to end up being the team because I think they're going to want to join. I think we'll have interest in them, and I think they'll have interest in us because of what I said earlier about them not being happy in the Mountain West, at least their head football coach isn't. And they're close enough to Texas. Colorado's relatively close to Texas, so it's not that far for basketball and such. If you add Boise, you may have to do it football only, same with BYU, whereas Air Force could be all sports. You got Navy, obviously natural rivalry for them. So you put them in the West Division, you move Memphis East, and it makes some sense because the rest of the schools in the West are, you know, in that Texas area, plus Tulsa and Tulane. and Navy. Navy plays in the West, and obviously Air Force Navy's natural rivalry. So that's who I think it'll be. If I had my choice, it would be BYU or Boise. My emotional choice would be Southern Miss. But in the end, I think it's going to end up being Air Force, and I have no problem
with it. I'm not real sure. I hadn't really thought about the conference that much, to tell you the truth.
Idea initially, Terry, was we weren't going to add anybody after UConn left.
Right.
But to play a championship game, the NCAA has given us a two-year waiver to play a championship game without having divisions or without having – you either play a championship game, you either have to have divisions or you have to play a round robin like the Pac-12 or like the Big 12 does, just play everybody in your league. And we can't do that with 11 teams. We can't play 10 conference games, or two non-conference games. That would cost too much money in the league. So after the two-year waiver, if the NCAA isn't going to extend it permanently to play a championship game, then we're going to have to add somebody, and that's what Arasco said. So.
Would it include us, like, reaching out to teams from the Sun Belt to come up?
If you could. I mean, you could if you want to go that route, sure.
Because thinking of a TV market, you think – naturally, Georgia State,
right
in Atlanta.
Yeah, that argument of TV market seems to not be as strong now because of the new media. And when I say new media, I mean things going to streaming services.
Right.
I do think there is something to that media market argument, but it's kind of in reverse. I don't think it really helps with revenue, but I do think those teams in that bigger media market, when they get that exposure, I think it helps them grow. You look at Cincinnati, right, and Memphis and SMU, since they've been in the American, what they've been able to do,
yeah,
all the TV coverage, because,
right.
So.
You're talking then as far as quality of football and tradition, Georgia Southern would be a good addition.
Yeah. How do you think Georgia Southern may run into the same problem we have, being able to compete financially in this league?
Well, that would be, do they want to make that type of commitment? Because now they're not, they would be considered Savannah and the coastal area,
right,
TV market. I don't know. Of course, they went into the Sun Belt, so
Terry wants to add teams from Georgia.
Oh, that's the ones that Cecil Staten got taken.
Yeah, I know. Cecil Staten, you.
I
apologize.
Bubba, Terry, what about Kennesaw State? They play football.
Now they haven't been playing more than three, four, maybe, I don't think they've been playing 4 years.
But they're in Georgia.
But they're in Georgia. Yes, they are. Well, you don't want Charlotte, or do you? Or Appalachian State?
Hell no.
I was thinking
you can make an argument for App State. Yeah.
I was thinking in terms of state and location.
Right. You can make an argument for App State in terms of their quality,
yeah,
of football, but I don't want them either because
– And East Coast, being around the East to replace the East –
The one advantage we have over App State right now is we can say we're in the American.
Right.
We put them in the American too with the way they've been winning. Then we take away that advantage.
And I really believe that. I believe that we are
so
going to
Georgia State, Georgia Southern. I mean, and those would be good candidates if you're looking to move a team up and elevate them. Both of them have huge potential. There's a lot of great talent in Georgia. Georgia State, you're right, you get the Atlanta market. Georgia Southern's got great tradition. Georgia State's got a good program now. They're winning. So,
yeah.
And Georgia State's got a nice big stadium. They bought Turner Field. That's their football stadium now. So,
right. That's where our state high school championships are this year.
Yeah. So Georgia State's really not a bad choice if you're looking to move somebody up.
I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with either. I mean, the Georgia State and Georgia Southern, especially when you're looking at how big another thing to look at is how big the Georgia Eat, Sleep, Drinks football. So I have no problem with either one of those.
If we have to add, if we end up having to add, being continue to play a championship game, and the Air Force Academy and some of those other teams out west turn us down, and I think Army's name will come up too. If we get turned down by Army, Air Force, BYU, Boise State,
yeah, those are like...
I think you'd look at a Georgia State. Another team I think you'd look at is probably Old Dominion.
Old Dominion has one good thing. They're spending a lot of – they're spending I don't understand. We talked about this back when we played them. I don't understand why they're not adding more seats or whatever, but they actually –
weird choice. They, weird choice to build a new stadium and only go to 23,000. That's a very weird choice.
Yeah, for me personally, with Old Dominion, they've got really good fans. I mean, their fans are coming down here to our games and – big numbers compared to being a local regional school, if you will, compared to like close to us. And they're bringing a 2,000 or 3,000 at least. I mean, they travel.
I don't know about really good fans, but they've got loyal fans. Because I watch, when I watch them play, they seem like a bunch of soccer fans watching football. But,
but they
soccer is football.
Football. Exactly. Football.
Football. Yeah.
It's football for girls.
Well, all the hate
girls,
mail can go
girls
to
and Europeans.
Kyle from LaGrange at gmail.com. You can email him, and email. All the hate mail can go there.
Yeah, all the male soccer fans we have listening.
Dial 1-800 Kyle.
Kyle
that,
now.
That one male soccer fan we have listening.
Well, but as far as the adding the team's expansion, I really believe if – could you imagine that? I really believe if you had Air Force, Boise, BYU, man, that would be – I mean, if you had those three teams.
Oh, yeah,
right,
if you can convince the powers that be, if we had those three, that if they would agree that you're a Power Six league, then yeah, add them all three. And then, you know, and if you could have that conversation with them, well, look, we had all three of you. They said we're going to be a Power Six league. We're going to get equal revenue share. Then they would come. The problem is getting somebody to guarantee you that.
Right.
I wouldn't want to add more than one until we actually see if we're ever going to be a Power Six.
So that's what we're talking
about.
That's
my point. That's my point.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
I'm right with you then.
Yeah. Basically,
I'm saying to make a guarantee where the 12 team is the first step. And then
BYU could be a legitimate choice.
Yeah. If you have a conversation with the powers that be, and they say if you add these three with what you already have, we're going to make you a Power Six league. You're gonna
like, I don't understand for me personally. For me personally, maybe it's revenue-wise, but I don't understand why, if I were the Pac-12, I would add Boise and BYU. Like, I would have done that like years ago. I don't. Those two teams bring a lot, and their brand names and that region, I mean, it makes perfect sense for them. Like when they added Utah, it's just, I don't understand why. So for me personally, I'm going to add those two. Like if you know that you can get them in Air Force, if you said, hey, we'll make a package deal, we'll add those three teams. I'm not saying to do it and it'd be a group of five and it's less for us.
Right.
I think that makes no
sense. And that's
why
it probably won't happen, because nobody's going to probably guarantee us that. But it'll be.
But it's really, it comes down to ESPN, ABC. The playoff is a made-for-TV event. And the only way that we're going to get this to work is to, and that's what leads me to believe with Mike Oresco having ESPN ties, it's not just some warm body as the commissioner. He's actually somebody that has the ends with ESPN.
Yeah,
I'm not saying – I really
he's
believe he's the best choice.
Yeah, he's helped us a lot. To get that money increase for TV was huge. And, you know, we're by far the highest paid so-called Group of Five league starting next year. It will be interesting to see what the Mount West TV deal looks like when they renew in the next couple months. I don't think they're going to touch our money, though.
Well, unfortunately, the SEC is it's who's leading the conversation, and it has everything to do with the money. And also, the SEC controls at least three networks because they have their own network. they have ESPN, ABC. Oh, excuse me, four, CBS.
So, ABC and ESPN is the same company.
Well, and that's who puts on the FBS is ESPN right now.
Right.
So, and they, there's going to be two SEC teams in the Final Four. I don't agree with it at all. I just totally disagree because all you do, the rich gets richer.
Well, not only that, but I think the dumb thing that is the one thing about football that drives me crazy, college football, is the very fact that it's the number two sport in all of America, and they could be making – the thing that I hear about the argument about money, I know where they're coming from, but it's short-sighted because they could be making a lot more money by adding the teams. And I really believe that if they were smart, if you do the motto I have, then you would have it where the regular season is even more of a – when you know that back in the day, before my time, Terry can help, but in basketball, when you won the ACC championship, for example, or whatever in basketball, that even if the two teams were the best in the country, like NC State and Maryland, right before I was born, that's the reason why, right around that time, that's the reason why they expanded to add at-large teams. And so for me, but going on that, if you had a conference champion and we know that the only way that we're going to get to the playoffs is we win our conference, it makes perfect sense. You know, give the SEC or some of these other conferences like buys or something. But I just really believe that if you win your conference, you should be in the national playoff.
Well,
I really do.
Let's back up a little bit. You're talking about ACC and basketball. We're talking about SEC and football. The SEC will not, back. They will not budge. They do not want to cut the pie any smaller.
But that's what I'm saying, Terry. You can make if you add it, they can more money.
I'm not. All I'm giving you is the perspective
right.
from the way it's seen from here, and I don't see it that way. But that's it's the good old boy. It's the connected. It's the what is it? The old sheriff that runs the county?
No, you got some assholes down there, and I'll tell you a perfect example of it. Bear Bryant Jr., a.k.a. Bitch Boy, shut down UAB. He was behind shutting down UAB.
Yeah.
And you tell me what threat UAB has ever shown to the University of Alabama.
Nothing.
It's location.
But because Bear Bryant, because Bear Bryant Jr., I heard it all went back to Bartow. Help me out, Dave. You're the basketball guy.
Gene Bartow.
Yeah. Thank you. I heard it all went back to Gene Bartow and him and Bear Bryant not liking each other. And Bear Bryant Jr. always had a hard on for shutting down UAB football when they started up because of Bartow. And so he got the right guy and the right people. And he basically had a stooge, kind of like Satan was here in conference. He had a stooge at UAB, and they shut down UAB football. And Bear Bryant Jr. was behind all that. So, you know, Alabama, in a way, was behind all that.
Who's Bear Bryant Jr.?
He's Bear Bryant's son.
Bear Bryant Jr.?
Yep. Look him up.
Look him up. Okay.
Yeah. When you have that name.
I thought you were being Kyle.
No.
I thought you were calling somebody Bear Bryant.
No, Bear Bryant Jr. had a huge role in shutting down UAB football.
Like Cecil Staten and Dave Staten.
Right, Dave Staten.
Oh, me. Wow.
Yeah, see?
That makes me feel really good. You made my day, Terry. I mean,
I just wanted you to feel included, so I used you on that.
Wow, I appreciate that. Please let me be a maverick and outsider. I wanted to bring up a topic before we go, and that is something we talked about a little
by
bit.
By the way, he's a very powerful banker, is who he is.
Oh, okay. If his last name is Bryant Jr., I get the picture.
He had a lot to do with shutting down UAB football, but thankfully there was a lot of outrage, and you know, and it was actually for the good of UAB. their football program stronger than ever. They got a great coach who may not be there after this year. He's tremendous. They're going to build a stadium in downtown Birmingham, and so really he did them a favor.
Yeah, he did. Well, you don't know what you got until it's gone. Final topic to talk about today is the let's look at the future East Carolina schedules. We talked about a little bit about 2020, but I was looking at this on purpose today.
Wait a minute, Dave. Let me give you the most important topic. We need to talk about moving Halton Ayers to tight end.
I'm going to hang up on Terry.
What
I think he's probably a quarterback.
You don't have to spend time on that. The future schedule, you look at 2020, you have what we talked about in Labor Day is going to be a very emotional game, the Marshall game. It's Marshall, then at South Carolina. And then you have Norfolk State at home, and then you won't play Georgia State. I thought that game was earlier, Terry.
Yeah, I called that yesterday. You said it was the second game of the year. Almost.
That's my bad. I didn't realize that until this morning.
It's October 3rd, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't realize that.
I thought I had it mixed up. I thought the South Carolina game was the.
No.
Yeah, but anyway.
And then you got the conference schedule. At home, you got Tulane, SMU, Navy, all going to be bowl teams. UCF, bowl team.
And Tulane, right?
I said Tulane. You got four bowl teams from the conference, and you know it's a tough schedule.
So we have to go to Cincinnati and Temple.
We got to go to Cincinnati and Temple.
And what time of year?
The conference games haven't been released yet.
Oh, okay.
But so it's a tough schedule, and it's to me, you know, and I don't know. There was somebody in ECU media that talked about how it wasn't a good schedule next year at home, and I disagree. I thought this year's home schedule was kind of trash, but I think next year
it's gonna be really good.
Outside of Cincinnati, this year's home schedule is kind of trash, but next year's home schedule is pretty appealing. Marshall coming back on the schedule. Now they may not win the East now after getting upset by Charlotte yesterday in a monsoon, but you got Marshall coming in. That's appealing. They're a name program, a program we got tradition with. 50th anniversary of the plane crash to open the season,
right.
So I think that'll get some national attention. Got Georgia State on the road, which is going to be they're a 7-win team right now.
But there's a lot of you'd be surprised how many former Pirates and just Pirates in general are in the Atlanta area.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no
and
question.
They're a 7-win team, and if they beat Georgia Southern, they'll be an 8-win team. Well, if they have the potential to be a 9-win team if they win their bowl, and so that's going to be a tough one. You know, the conference schedule, UCF, you know, we talked about them and what they are. Navy's coming to Greenville. And by the way, UCF, if Mackenzie Milton's supposed to be back next year.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
You got the Navy.
He's been working his tail off in rehab.
Yep.
That is amazing.
You got the Naval Academy coming to town. I mean, so it's a tough schedule. And, Terry, I'm thinking about going to Atlanta. For that Georgia State game, I've never been to Atlanta, if you can believe it.
Really?
I've never been to Atlanta.
You like to travel.
I've only been to Georgia once.
Well,
I've never been to Florida. So, you know, you automatically think you go to Florida, you travel through Atlanta, but never been to Florida. I've traveled more north and west than I have south.
Okay. All right. I'm wrong on that. Looking, you were talking about the schedules real quick. 2021, we'll leave it at that. You have the Bubba's favorite team, Appalachian State. We're going to be playing them in Charlotte, Labor Day weekend 2021. South Carolina home at Marshall and then Charleston Southern. So the 2021 schedule, I think, is going to be good. Then you have
2021 schedule is tough.
Do what?
21 schedule is tough.
I like it. And then you have State.
I wonder who South Carolina's coach will be when we play them.
I wonder if they'll actually come to Greenville like they're supposed to.
They will.
That's another question.
They I think they will. I think they've taken their share of lumps on the last time.
They've taken their share of lumps from us.
We at one point there through the 90s, I think we were.
We beat them all.
I will make you a guarantee. All right? If we beat South Carolina in Columbia this fall, they will not come to Greenville the following year.
All right, we'll see how that plays out. And
I hope I have to eat my words because we beat them and then they still come to Greenville.
If it's our contract, I mean, if our home game and our contract,
we could refuse the buyout. You're right.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's what I said we should do. But you normally don't do that. But I would.
How about this? 2022, you have NC State, Campbell, and BYU. And then, hey, Terry, road trip for 2023, we have at Michigan, Labor Day weekend, Marshall and home, and then Appalachian State. We're going to be going to Boone.
Wait a minute. Is this 21 or what?
The 23. So State, you have State, Campbell. State. The 2022 schedule is going to be great because you have NC State, Campbell, and at BYU. They don't have a fourth team yet. And then you have 2023. That's as far as we'll go out. Michigan, Marshall State at Michigan, and then you have Marshall home, and then at App State and Boone. The first time in a long time we've been to Boone, right? So
yeah, I'd say a very long time. Now,
yeah,
21,
Terry,
we play App State and Charlotte, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And then we'll have them at home in 24. But I really like the. The schedules now from here on out are outstanding, so I have no issues with the
schedule. Yeah, they're good. That's one thing I do is this is the only thing you'll ever hear me defend Jeff Confer on. I do think
I agree with you.
Flag for his scheduling. I thought his scheduling was okay. He won't know Terry Holland when he came to scheduling, but who the hell is?
Exactly, and the only issue that we have is
if you wanted Terry Holland scheduling, you shouldn't have ran him out of town.
And that goes to back to the good old boy network. That those are the same people that brought us Jeff Confer and Cecil Staton. So
yep,
they should never.
Yep. All because Terry Holland wanted to make huge changes to the power.
Wait till you see who our new chancellor is going to be.
Are you hearing rumors?
Well,
rumors what?
It ain't going to be the one we thought we were getting there.
Captain
Dan, he got put out. So
yeah,
it's gonna be whoever somebody wants.
Well, we got a committee. We formed a committee.
We formed a
20 person committee.
A 20 person.
It was a lot of people.
You know what that a large committee means? One person's just gonna make the decision.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. A doggy pony show.
And there's one more thing we need to talk about before we go, guys. Maybe the most important subject of all. We play the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. By the way, Dave, do we play a basketball game today?
We do. We actually play today at 5:00. We unfortunately lost last night. 74-68, we're playing Rice at 5:00, the old Conference USA.
I was hoping we'd get George, so we ain't going to get to play George Washington. That pisses me off. Oh, well.
No, unfortunately, yeah.
Well, let's see if we can beat Rice and go 2-1. But
well, in fact, we'll finish third if we go, right? I don't know, we'll finish third.
Who cares? But I just want to go 2-1.
Yeah.
Tulsa, next weekend, guys, in Greenville, Senior Day, Thanksgiving weekend. Close out the season. 12:00 kickoff at Dottie Ficklin. Tulsa lost to Houston last night. Tulsa always plays close games. So guys, I'm calling it now. You heard it here first. You ready for this?
Okay.
Overtime next weekend.
All right. I say, yeah, I'm going with the – I've already felt like it's going to come down to a Jake Faraday field goal to find whether or not really – I think it's going to be that tight of a game. I think we win it. It's going to be a tight game. I would love to see a blowout, but I'll take it. Hey, if it's 1 point, I'll take it. What about you, Terry?
I got a couple of points to make. One is it's senior night, so or day or whatever. Yeah, day, because we're playing it day. Wait till you see how many seniors we have and how many are actually playing this year.
Uh-huh. Not many.
I didn't look at the number of kids, number of players we have on staff. We don't have many. And I said the number, but I don't tell you. I'm going to make you look it up. So there. no, I think we got about 15 seniors. Half of them, I think, playing pretty regular. But then the other point is it's our last game this year. Tulsa, did they play at home last night?
They did, yeah.
And got beat at home.
It did, yeah.
They're going to have to fly here after Thanksgiving. They may not come ready to play.
Terry's calling a blowout. I'm calling overtime. Terry's calling a blowout. Guess what? I hope Terry's right.
I hope Terry's right.
But a blowout now, to me, is maybe 10 to 14 points.
Okay.
So, but I believe we're going to play well next week, and I believe that you're going to get a really good look at what we've got coming. And I think we're going to finish strong.
5-7, yeah. I really believe we get 5 wins.
It's gonna be a tough game. If we win at 5-7 is what I called at the beginning of the year. So I'll be pleased. And
that'll be what Skip went his first year.
Correct. Yeah.
And Ruff, I think had 6.
Six and seven.
No. His second year they went 7-6.
What year did we have that DC Bowl?
That was 2010.
That was 2010. That was Ruffin's first year.
Right.
Okay.
We got blown out by Maryland in the.
We went 6-7. Got blown out by Maryland. 06 was Skip's second year. We went 7-5. Then lost the Birmingham Bowl to South Florida to finish 7-6.
Right.
Right. Well, I think you're gonna see a lot of the youth on our team. Finish strong. And, of course, the seniors are going to want to go out strong. And I think
now, Terry, you can comment on this because you played. I've often heard that sometimes the seniors don't play the best on senior days. They get too emotional. But sometimes the young players end up playing their best games for those guys.
That's true. And then, of course, in my experience, we didn't lose at home. So. Yeah, so the seniors had good days.
There you go.
So we did lose twice in 9 years.
Wow.
9 years he was at East Carolina playing.
That was my
redshirt
years.
Terry had more senior days in the history of the program than anybody else.
He was
Patrick Pinky. That's right. And I played. His dad was on our team.
He played with his dad and Patrick. There you go. Reggie
Pinky. There you go. So, So, you know, it's been a fun year. I think we've laid a good foundation. I think the process is in place. We'll just make some good, smart decisions at the very top. I think you're going to see some good things in the future. Our future is ahead of us.
I'll make my last comment with this, but Terry. When you talk about a blowout on senior day, it makes me think of the '08 season. We were banged up and injured like crazy. We won the conference that year, but at the end of the year we were injured.
Right.
We were down starting the season. Brandon Simmons wasn't even on the depth chart. And by the time we played UTEP on senior day, Thanksgiving weekend, to close the regular season, he was our only running back. And him and his brother, Jason, who was a walk-on who was on the scout team, Norman Whitley, who wasn't playing early, was also injured for that game. So you had Brandon Simmons. And UTEP got food poisoning, and we beat the holy hell out of them, like 42-7. So maybe Tulsa can get some food poisoning. That'd be good.
Oh, wow. Before we get sued, well, Bubba, we miss Bubba. He's actually doing a good thing. He's at church, so go, Bubba. I'll miss him. And, Terry, thank you so much. Hopefully your wife, Gil, is – I know she's recuperating now, so give her our best. And,
yeah, Brian, I'm on my way to Atlanta to, my wife is at Emory University Hospital. She had double jaw surgery, and she's recuperating at a slow pace, but it's an interesting situation, and she's doing well.
And by the way, for anybody that's wondering, there are no pending domestic violence charges.
I was going to say that she told me. I was going to say that she told me that next week Terry is going to have surgery where his jaws are wired shut, so that way she can get a word in.
I'll be talking to her.
Critical condition. His jaws are wired shut.
I'll have a hard voice tone.
Well, Terry, I want to wish you a really happy Thanksgiving. Again, you've helped us out tremendously throughout the year. I know we're going to be talking to you before the new year, but certainly we're very excited about 2020 and with the not only with the football team, with ECU, but also with our podcast. We've got a lot of great things coming up, and I just want to personally thank you for being thankful and Thanksgiving. I want to thank you for all that you've done for our show and helping us out, too.
Terry, what are your plans for Thanksgiving? What do y'all do down there in Water Robins? Are you going to see your daughter?
Well, with my wife's situation, she'll be having Thanksgiving dinner through a straw.
There you go.
And I'll be having what I nibble on while I'm making her Thanksgiving through a straw.
Okay. No, that's fun.
I'll visit a local buffet, maybe.
There you go. Sounds good. Sounds good.
But anyway, and I appreciate you guys. Thanks for letting me get involved with this thing. Talking football and ECU Pirates, good gracious. Because if you want to talk about being thankful, ECU took a chance on a lover short white boy that nobody else would. And look at me. So I am so thankful for ECU and for all the stuff with me and my family. So happy Thanksgiving.
ECU took a chance on a little short white boy that nobody else would. And look at Tyler Schneid.
I knew that when you would say that, Kyle. Wow. I knew you would say that.
By the way, he has now caught 35 passes in 2 games, and I had 72 in my career.
I'm going to start calling him Terry. With your permission, I'm going to start calling him Bunk 2 or Bunk the Sequel.
Yeah, Bunk 2.0.
Is that amazing? I tell you, that's a typical East Carolina Pirate, too. The walk on, and he's undersized and got a heart bigger than anybody out there.
I love it. Rudy, if you call him that. All right. Well, good luck to the Pirates tonight. They're in the Bahamas. Wish we could be there, but obviously we can't. And thank you, Bubba. Thank you, Terry, Kyle. I'm Dave Richmond. You've been listening to the Pirate Playback. Pirates get the big win yesterday against Connecticut. And you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective. And the objective is sports.